Good morning, everyone. How was the endocrine test?
Rough.
Yeah, endocrine is a really, I think out of all of the subject matter that you have to go through, I think endocrine is just about the roughest with all the hormones and what goes where and what does what. And there's just so much
Mrs. Zachary,
information.
can you let Anika in?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Shaniqua.
Anika's in the waiting room, she said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been hitting admit all, and then all of a sudden everybody's name comes up in different order and comes up with different names. So I don't know if there's some internet connections going bad out there right now. Has anybody been outside? What's it look like out there?
It's not too bad. It's nice.
Oh, no, you were supposed to say it's really terrible and you can't get to work.
I wish it was bad, but it's not.
Yeah,
I'll be
that's
trying
roads are
to
clear in Wilkes-Barre.
couple minutes because I'm on my phone and I don't want to be.
Okay.
So I had to shut my thing off and I'll be back on soon. All right.
Okay, not a problem.
Ms. Zacher.
Yes.
Okay. We have to discuss this test next week.
Because you know what? I really think that it's, I took a look at it. I thought we had more material to go over, and I really think it's going to be next week. What, first off, what exams do you already have scheduled for next week?
We have OB next week. We have
Oh.
IV next week.
Damn.
I know we have to get them in, but there is a lot here.
Yeah, like that's a lot going on next week. What day is the OB one?
Friday, and
Friday.
that's my worst class too, so I'm worried about that.
Amen to that, Patrick.
Yeah. I was going to say next to endocrine, OB rates up there with, with badness. When's the
I
IV
hate.
one? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an exam there too. So we got IV, we got OB, and what else do you have?
Farm.
Let me see what we can do about that. I'm looking at what we have here because I didn't realize that we were that close to the, pituitary was not, I expected pituitary and adrenal to be more, a little more involved than it was. Thank God it isn't, because I was just anticipating like I said, badness. The week after that, we have Tuesday. See, what ends up messing us up now is the clinical, because now we're cramming things in.
Yep.
Okay, we have Tuesday next week. We have, I think we can have a Thursday the following week. And then I've got GU there, so we can't do that. Because I did that to you the last time. I mean, I tried to avoid it, and it ended up making things worse for everybody with having immunity and farm on the same day. So that's why I'm trying to, at all costs, see what we can do here. Let me think about it. I really do want to have it so that you guys are. Do you have any exams scheduled the week after?
Probably.
Not as of yet, though.
Okay.
Our schedule doesn't go out that far.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me look at that. If we do an
Mrs.
exam
Zacher, is
there.
there any way that we could have like a whole review of these three chapters? Because
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm coming or going anymore.
I
That's
know.
exactly it, Amber. Yep.
That's what I figured. I thought that there was more to, like I said, there was more to that. That whole, adrenal. But I want to leave us enough. I want to make sure I leave us enough time too for thyroid and diabetes. I'd like to do the diabetes. Did she start diabetes yet in endocrine?
No,
Today she
that would be
does.
next. Yeah.
Okay, so then at least there'll be some sort of a, we can play off each other with that, and maybe that'll make it a little bit easier because then you're in the mindset, Let me, because the week after we got plenty of time to play that week, but I think you're going to get overloaded. What classes do you have left? You've got endocrine, you've got OB, you've got farm. Is there anything else that you have?
Mental health.
Okay. How's that going?
Not bad.
Okay, good.
Good for me.
I was going to say that used to be, I used to think that was my worst class ever. And that was the one that I aced on the exams at school. And I'm like, ooh, what does that say about me? Wait a minute. Okay, we're not going to plan on the exam next week. We're going to plan on it. We're going to plan on it on Tuesday, the 16th, which is what I was planning for to begin with. Because if that gives
us... We all appreciate that, Ms. Sacker.
I know, but you know what's going to turn around and happen. They're going to, you're going to have mental health, IV, and OB that day too. Watch. Because then that gives us 5, 6. That gets us, yes, 7. That gives us enough classes to get through thyroid, diabetes, and it'll take us right to the end. And the exam will be like right at the end. It'll probably be that Thursday or Friday, right at the very end of the month. You have time to play, because I want to leave some time too. I was thinking about the immunity thing. I would like to do some sort of an immunity activity that we could sit there and say everybody did and everybody gets, you know, gets points for that, just to help out. Because like I said, it really sucks what ended up happening with all those tests being back to back to back and me kind of being pushed into a corner to do it, you know, give you the two hard tests on one day, because that's just not fair. I set you guys up for failure. In addition, I was looking through ATI last night. You guys didn't do look-alike, sound-alike meds in video case studies, right? I looked at some of the stuff you had done.
No.
So I figure if you do look-alike, sound-alike meds, it's appropriate. It's good. It's quick. It's something that doesn't have to do with any of this, but it's something that's important. If you do that one before exam 3, and then exam 4, we'll do the ATI Farm Made Easy Endocrine. Then that'll hopefully tie everything in for the end.
Thank you, Ms. Sacker.
Does that sound okay for everybody? Like I said, I'm on your side. This stuff I know is hard. You know, this is probably the hardest. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Latoya, I couldn't hear you.
When is that ATI due? I'm sorry.
Before the day of the exam.
So it's look-alike, sound-alike med, and what was the other one?
The other one is due before the fourth one, and it's that farm-made easy endocrine.
Okay.
You've got enough endocrine under your belt that, because it doesn't just do diabetes, it does all of it. So that way you've got it all under your belt and it will make more sense and it will help to be a study guide for you. So we'll try working it that way, see what happens and go from there. Now I was looking last night, Didn't hear you, I'm sorry, Tim.
Sorry, what's the look-alike sound-alike under?
I believe it's under video case studies.
VCS. Okay, thank you.
Yep, that's where it should be. Okay, let me get this off my screen. I figure we should review psych meds while they're still fresh in your mind, and you know, and everybody has questions about them. We'll see if we can get that a little bit more organized in your minds, because I know everybody has questions about it. When you think about psych meds, it's hard because it doesn't seem to fit with anything else that you've been learning. So it's a little bit more of a difficult, thing to do. Heard somebody banging on my door. I thought it was my cat trying to come in. I don't know if you guys ever see the cat. He's laying on my bed.
Ms. Sacker, what PowerPoints are we on today?
I pulled up the psych ones and I pulled up the pituitary ones. So, you know, to see where we get, see what we're doing.
Do we need to know the 6 different, all the 6 major anxieties? Like the different, all of them? Or is there certain ones we should focus on?
Let me look at the PowerPoint. I don't think that you need to know them because I'm thinking about NCLEX as I say that. That's why I'm saying I would, not necessarily memorize them. I would recognize them. Do you know what I'm saying? I would just like look at them just so you say you can look at it and go, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's okay. That anxiety thing going on. Now I was looking at this guy last night. I like a lot of the things that they say. I like a lot of the things that they do. They went on the psych one, they were listening to, he was talking about barbiturates too with psych meds, which they tend not to do because of the, oh God, word went right out of my head. Because of the abuse potential with it. I mean, you've got abuse potential because, the, you know, these people have issues to begin with. So you have the potential for abuse and the potential for drug interactions. So they tend not to use them as much. So he talks about them a little bit, but we end up talking about barbs next semester anyway in Farm 4. So, you know, if you get a little bit out of it, then that's good. I was looking at his little snippet ones that were 5-minute ones, and I thought that's the one I pulled up, and I'm looking down and I'm seeing this one's 29 minutes, but still, it'll give you guys 29 minutes to listen, see if you can catch anything off of it. He does little sing-songy things to put things in your mind to help you to remember. So let's see if any of that helps too. And then we'll go back over the slides and see if we can apply any of that. I was listening to some of the other videos last night and they were dry. And I'm sorry, it's, you guys have enough dry listening to all of us drone on and on doing lecture. So, you know, we'll see if this guy and his little sing-songy things can help out a little bit. So sit back and we will watch this. Looks like everybody's here. I think I left all my stuff at school. I'm still home. I haven't gotten into school yet. They told us we didn't have to come in till 10 o'clock. So I'll head in after this. So looks like everybody's here. So I'm counting everybody is here. Okay, let me see if I can get the sound on this. I think I got that problem solved. Let's see.
And welcome to simplenursing.com. Before we get today's lecture started, please remember, click here to check out our brand new app-based NCLEX product.
Whatever you do,
loaded with the highest quality NCLEX style practice questions. And complete with detailed video rationales that break down the question for you. So finally, master.
One thing that I was looking at last night, I went into some of his test bank questions. And the first question I got to was, oh, you've got this patient, he's got a temperature of 103. He's post-op from the day before. He's got a temperature of 103. He's tachycardic at 110. Blood pressure is like 100 over 40. Respiration's 28. What is the first thing that you need to do? Get him a warm blanket. He's got chills. Get him a warm blanket. Offer him fluids. Call the doctor or call the charge nurse. Call an RRT. I would say, and I did say, call an RRT.
Because I mean, you need oxygen, right?
Yeah, like you need, there's issues going on here. He put down as the right answer, give him a blanket, because after all, it's normal to run a fever after surgery. And I'm going, oh God. No. All you're going to do is cook the person.
Sorry, Ms. Acker, did you say you paid for the subscription?
No, you have to watch because they try to get you to pay for it.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's worth it because I like these videos.
I like the videos. Like I said, I don't like their questions. The other guy that goes that talks, that does the theory, you really have to watch what he says because I've caught a couple times him saying the wrong thing. So you just have to, if you do get it, I mean, they do have information there. I like their study guides that they have. I looked at a couple of them. They looked right. They looked okay. You just have to watch them. I don't know if because they're, you know, performing and talking and they're not thinking about sometimes what they're saying. And the other guy mispronounces way too many medical terms to be a nurse. So, but this guy is supposed to be, his credentials are on the, the screen. I don't know if the other guy's credentials ever show up. I'm not sure.
Are you talking about Blake?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Blake.
Yeah. He did a real good one on AIDS. I was like, you know what? That makes sense. It made the whole immune thing in AIDS kind of like make a little bit more sense for me, you know?
I love Nurse Blake.
Yeah. But I said, when he starts talking about rails and rails are they hard, coarse sounds you hear in your lungs, and crackles are just this little snap, crackle, pops. I'm going, no, they're the same thing. So don't mix terms, and, you know, don't do that. Don't confuse people. Use the terms that mean something. Crackles are crackles. All right, let's see.
All those darn select all that apply questions. Plus, all our NCLEX memberships come included with our entire library of over 1,000 videos and study guides and cheat sheets. Come see why over 100,000 students have trusted their future to simplenursing.com. Click here to get started for free.
Do you need this louder, or is it okay? Okay.
Now, anxiolytics given for anxiety and seizures. Guys, we have benzodiazepines, barbiturates, and buspirone. Now, the key point here is that benzos and barbs are the dangerous ones since they're sedatives, making the vitals low and slow. And buspirone does not sedate. So think you can still drive the bus in buspirone or buspirone. Now, first up is benzodiazepines ending in LAM and PAM, like alprazolam and temazepam. The good news is that it acts fast within minutes. But the bad news here is that it's highly addictive and hard to come off. So guys, they're not safe for long-term use. So the memory trick is just think benzos is like driving a Mercedes-Benz with two crazy chicas, PAM and LAM. Guys, we're talking living life in the fast lane, doing all the things mama told you not to do. So guys, it's highly addictive and it's a very dangerous lifestyle. Again, these are given for anxiety and seizures, but also for alcohol withdrawal and sedation, like a medically induced coma for brain swelling. Now, the mechanism of action is pretty simple. It increases GABA, which decreases activity of neurons. So we just think that grandma is GABA, or we call GABA our grandma. It keeps everyone calm and relaxed, kind of like reading you a bedtime story. So it's very sedating. If you want more GABA, we get more sedation. So guys, the biggest side effect here is the big sedation. Everything is low and slow. So the memory trick is that benzos bring everything low. So in the heart, we get a low heart rate and blood pressure. In the lungs, we get low respiratory rate, leading to deadly respiratory depression. And in the brain, we have sedation. So guys, the big patient teaching is sedation, sleepiness, and the suppression of ABCs. So big key points to write down. We take at bedtime and you don't skip doses. Guys, those are two big NCLEX tips coming up in multiple sections. Now, sedation effects and rebound anxiety are the big dangers here. So we keep taking even when the patient is feeling okay. And we always taper off and never abruptly or suddenly stop. And the next topic here is stop drinking alcohol, including wine, which is always a big topic on exams, since it can cause more sedation. And the obvious one here is don't operate dangerous machines. Now, the antidote to benzos is, write this down, flumazenil. And the antidote to opioids is naloxone, brand name Narcan. Now, a few quiz banks, including the ATI and the HESI, touched on respiratory arrest using this antidote. Guys, so make sure to write this down and don't get tricked between these two. Now, next up are barbiturates ending in barbitol, like phenobarbital. Now, the good news is it lasts longer in the body, usually 3 to 5 days. And the bad news is it takes longer to get out of the body. So we have higher risk for toxicity, leading to hypotension and respiratory depression, and then ultimately death. Now, a common HESI question is a scenario of a patient on phenobarbital with low blood pressure and increased sedation. Guys, this is huge priority. Always assess this patient first. So to help you remember this, the memory trick is bar for barbiturates, or bar like barbitol. Just think of a bar. So you went to the bar and now you're sedated and sleepy. And now you're probably locked behind bars like a prison, since they last a long time. So just think bar is large lasting, very toxic sedation and high death rates. Now, buspirone, we call buspirone, since our memory trick is like riding the bus, since it's slow and really easy to quit. Now, guys, it's not sedating, so you can still drive the bus of buspirone. Now, it's an atypical anxiolytic. And the good news is there's no depressant effects. But the bad news is that the bus is slow. And guys, it takes a long time to kick in. So the key point to know for the exam is 2 to 4 weeks for full effect. And the good thing here is no withdrawal symptoms. Guys, that's usually a common mistake on NCLEX exams, as well as HESI. So the good news here, not addictive, no dependence, no tolerance, and no sedation with, again, no withdrawal symptoms. So it's safe for long-term use, again, like riding the bus, slow and easy to quit. Now for patient teaching, yes, driving is okay. Guys, no sedation, so you can still drive the bus. And again, it's not for acute attacks, usually taken on a regular basis, not as needed. Now, two common test questions for anxiolytics. Question number one, patient teaching for diazepam. Select all that apply. Guys, remember, Pam and Lam is like living the fast, dangerous life. Everything's very sedated. So number one, avoid valerian root. Yes, guys, valerian is like Valium. Have to avoid too much sedation. Number two, avoid ginkgo and ginseng. No. Those are for usually bleeding problems. So that's fine. Number three, avoid muscle relaxants. Yes, a sedative, got to avoid that. Number four, report history of reaction to midazolam. Yes, guys, Pam and Lam, any cross reactions usually means an interaction of allergies. And number five, naloxone is the antidote for this med. No, guys, that's the opioid antidote. And number six, decrease alcohol consumption. Guys, no, we're not limiting or decreasing. We're avoiding it altogether when taking a dose of this medication. Now, question number two here, a client on phenobarbital, which of the following should the nurse do? Select all that apply. So number one, monitor for hypertension. No, guys, we're monitoring for hypotension, that low and slow. Number two, assess for respiratory depression. Yes, guys, low and slow respirations. Big one right there. Number three, assess for low blood pressure. Yes, for sure. Number four, teach the patient there is no withdrawal symptoms. Guys, no, not for phenobarbital. That's for buspirone. And number five, teach sedation is an early side effect. Yes, guys, barbital. It's like you went to the bar and now you're very sleepy and sedated. Now, antidepressants, the big mamas here. We have SSRIs, SNRIs, TCAs, and MAOIs. Now, we'll be covering these one by one, but first, let's cover the four rules to antidepressants. Since the NCLEX will not test you directly on the mode of action, or basically how the drug works, rather, it tests safety on how the drug will harm or kill the patient. So, guys, we'll be focusing on the need to know for the NCLEX, not just the nice to knows. So these four universal principles are NCLEX patient safety. Number one, increased risk of suicide. As antidepressants elevate the mood, it gives the patients more energy. Energy to go out and carry out the suicide. So a big thing to write down is that antidepressants can actually increase suicidal thoughts in the first few weeks of treatment. And the big risk is for young adults, 18 to 24 years old. So we always, key term here, notify the provider of any suicidal thoughts and always clarify any new prescription. Guys, we're monitoring the clients for keywords, new thoughts of suicide, unusual behavior, worsening depression, or sudden changes in mood. These patients are the most at risk for suicide. Now, number two is the slow onset and the slow taper off. Never stop abruptly. They're taken for a few weeks to reach that therapeutic range. So educate patients when saying this med is not working after the first week, or they're also saying something about sexual dysfunction. Patients need to know about this first so they won't stop taking the drug. Now, third is we never mix these key words here. SSRIs with St. John's wort, and MAOIs with any other antidepressants. We're talking TCAs, SSRIs, even SNRIs. Guys, this could lead to deadly serotonin syndrome. So 2-week washout period is needed. Guys, keyword there, 2 weeks, write that down. Keywords, never start a new antidepressant while tapering off an MAOI or another. So just coming off the day before is a big no-no. Always a taper off and never mix. Now, point number four is all psychiatric drugs usually decrease the blood pressure. So we teach slow position changes for risk for falling and causes weight changes, mostly weight gain. Now, first up are the SSRIs, sertraline, citalopram, and escitalopram. Guys, those came up the most often on all the quiz banks. But we also have paroxetine and fluoxetine. Now, SSRIs are given mainly for depression, anxiety, and PTSD. Now, the mode of action is quite simple. Typically not tested on the NCLEX, but it could come up on pharmacology exams. So guys, just let the name help you. For SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors basically inhibits the reuptake of serotonin, keeping more around. So serotonin levels are increased in the body. Now, the four common side effects, which usually improve after 3 months. Number one is weight gain. Number two, which is a big one, sexual side effects. The key point, and always on the NCLEX, write this down, sexual dysfunction. So just remember, sertraline causes sexual dysfunction, and there's no sedation. So don't be tricked. SSRIs usually cause insomnia. Now, priority key points. We use the acronym SSRI. S for the suicide risk that is increased when starting the med or changing the dose. Again, high risk is age 18 to 24. And a key priority to monitor, big key point right here, report more energy without change in depression. Guys, huge risk for suicide. Now, the second S is for a slow onset and a slow taper off, usually taking about 2 to 4 weeks to reach that full effect. So we teach patients not to stop the med when starting and during this time. And guys, always taper off, never abruptly stop. Now, the next S is for serotonin syndrome, a very deadly complication which happens if we use drugs or vitamins that also increase serotonin levels. Guys, we're talking about a serotonin overdose. So the big key point here is we never mix, write this down, St. John's wort, MAOIs, or tramadol. Never to be mixed with SSRIs. Now, the signs and symptoms include SRI. S for sweaty, hot, fever. Never cold or clammy. We're talking really hot here. R for rigid muscles, restlessness, and agitation. Guys, big key words. Write those down. We're talking tremors and hyperreflexia. Not decreased DTRs. They'll actually be increased. And speaking of increased, I is for increased heart rates, known as tachycardia, over 100 beats per minute. Now, the famous SNRI, duloxetine, given for depression and pain, like with neuropathy and fibromyalgia. So guys, just think, duloxetine is for a dual purpose, both depression and pain. Or duloxetine helps to dull the pain with fibromyalgia. Guys, the big key point here is to teach that it helps with chronic pain and it also improves sleep in patients with fibromyalgia. Now, don't be tricked. Common test questions is a client refusing this medication. So patients can always refuse medications. That's not the problem here. But the most appropriate response is to educate the patient on why the medication is given, basically the indication. So for example, if a fibromyalgia patient is prescribed this and they're not depressed, they need to be educated on the purpose of why this medication will help with the pain. Now for our TCAs, tricyclic antidepressants, we have the two famous ones, amitriptyline and imipramine. So memory tricks here, amitriptyline, just think Amy trips on things. So guys, we have slow position changes. And imipramine just basically inhibits my peeing. Now, the indication is for depression and anxiety, and it also helps with neuropathy or neuropathic pain with diabetes and fibromyalgia. But the common side effects to be written down here, the big dry, the anticholinergic effects, guys. Basically, can't see, pee, spit, or poop. You get the point. So can't see, we get blurred vision and photophobia. Can't pee, we get urinary retention. Guys, that's a big NCLEX tip. Priority and most serious. We also can't spit, so we get a dry mouth. And you can't poop, so you get constipation. Now, other side effects, we get sweating, seizures, and sedation, known as drowsiness or dizziness. So it's a priority to teach patients slow position changes. Now, speaking of patient teaching, we treat the dry by drinking the fluids. And for no seeing or dry eye, we teach them to wear sunglasses and eye drops, and no spit for dry mouth, chew the gum, and for no poop, guys, we use fiber for constipation. Now, the big key points to write down again, orthostatic hypotension, we teach slow position changes because amitriptyline, just think Amy trips on things, guys, slow position changes. And urinary retention, again, the memory trick, imipramine inhibits my peeing. And lastly, we never take with an MAOI, always a 2-week washout period. So remember, no MAOIs and other antidepressants. We're talking TCAs, SSRIs, even SNRIs. So remember, MAOIs do not mix well with others, not even a tapered down dose. You must fully come off MAOIs first before transitioning to another antidepressant like a TCA or even SSRI. Now for the MAOIs, always an NCLEX favorite here. We have phenylzine, brand name Nardil, selegiline, and isocarboxacide. These are the first and oldest antidepressants, known as the big guns. Very powerful antidepressants used for depression, panic disorder, as well as social phobia. Now, the mechanism of action is that it increases availability of norepinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine in the brain. And it's used for depression that is resistant to other medications. So the key points for MAOIs is just the acronym MAOI. M for massive hypertension crisis risk. Usually a key sign is a massive headache. So we avoid the tyramine. Now, that's an amino acid that helps regulate the blood pressure and actually triggers hypertension crisis, leading to death from a heart attack like an MI or a CVA stroke. So guys, the big no-no list to avoid. So no fermented alcohol, fermented fruits or veggies, and even meats. So number one, wine and cheese. Guys, no, so no wine tasting. Number two, beer and sausage and salami, no beer fests. And number three is chocolates. Guys, no visiting Charlie or his chocolate factory. We are teaching patients to start the diet at least 2 weeks before starting MAOIs and continue for 2 weeks after stopping. So the memory trick is tyramine ends in I-N-E, like phenylzine, just think tyramine, or selegiline is tyramine. So no cheese, beer, sausage, or wine for tyramine. So big questions on the exams here. Can the patient eat fruit? Guys, yes. Can they eat veggies? Yes. Can they have fermented fruits or veggies or even pickled veggies? No. Dried processed fruits? No. What about liver, tongue, sausage? Guys, these are all meats. So no, they cannot have it. Now, O is for OTC or over-the-counter drugs. And this could contribute to a hypertension crisis. So guys, we avoid can. C for calcium, A for antacids, A for acetaminophen, or basically Tylenol, and N for NSAIDs like naproxen and ibuprofen. Now our next O is for other antidepressants to avoid. Guys, remember, MAOIs do not mix with other antidepressants. So we're avoiding TCAs, SSRIs, SNRIs. This can actually trigger a serotonin syndrome. So we have a 2-week washout period when changing or swapping out antidepressants. Guys, 2 full weeks, not 2 days, not the day before, 2 weeks from the ending. Keyword is fully taper off the other. So the big key point is no escitalopram, which is an SSRI, and no imipramine, which is a TCA. Guys, the NCLEX will try and trick you, so just make sure to know the names of these drugs. Now, I is for increased suicide risk, usually within the first few weeks of treatment or when the dose is increased. Now, this especially happens in children, adolescents, and young adults. So the key words to write down here, guys. Patient states this med is not working after 2 weeks. The first thing to do is assessment, guys. So further expressions of hopelessness, despair, or suicidal thoughts or harming themselves usually indicates a reason to report to the HCP. Now for the top three missed questions of psychiatric meds. Which medication has the most potential risk for injury? Select all that apply. Guys, we're looking for sedating meds here. So number one, amitriptyline. Remember, Amy trips on things. Very sedating. So yes. Option two, diphenhydramine or Benadryl. Yes, guys, very sedating. High risk for injury. How about option three, Colace? No, that's technically a stool softener. No sedation there. Option four, Alprazolam. Yes, guys, that's a benzo. Pam and Lam. Very dangerous life. And option five, Buspirone. No, remember bus. You can drive the bus. It's not sedating. Now, question two, which combination of drugs should the nurse question? Select all that apply. Guys, the main focus here is we don't want to mix between SSRIs and MAOIs. Because remember, MAOIs don't mix with others. So option one, sertraline with selegiline. Guys, that's a big no-no. That's an SSRI and MAOI. Never mixed. Option two, alprazolam with citalopram. So benzos and SSRIs, that's okay. Now third, buspirone with phenylzine. That's an anxiolytic with an MAOI. Technically okay. Now how about lithium with ketorolac or brand name Tordal? That's a tricky one since lithium is a bipolar med and ketorolac is an NSAID. So guys, that's a big no-no. And option five, St. John's wort with buspirone. Technically that is okay. Now question number three, which has the most potential for injury? Select all that apply. So option one, amitriptyline to treat fibromyalgia pain. Guys, yes, Amy trips on things. It's very sedative, high risk for injury. Now option two, a headache while on phenylzine. Guys, yes, the very first sign of a hypertension crisis is a headache. Huge risk for CVA stroke. Now option three, taking St. John's wort with sertraline. Guys, yes, sertraline is an SSRI. And St. John's wort, we have to stop. Guys, nothing really comes good from St. John's wort. Now option four, discontinuing escitalopram the day before isocarboxamide. Guys, no, that's the most injury. Guys, we can't mix an SSRI and an MAOI within 2 week period of each other. So not the day before. Has to be 2 weeks totally separated. Now option five, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich while on selegiline. Guys, this is okay. Alcohol, cheese, and meats are okay. No tyramine in it for this MAOI. Now if it was a grilled cheese, that's a big no-no. Or a ham sandwich has meat in it, big no-no. And even beer and sausage, we have no alcohol, guys. So no alcohol, cheese, or meats. Now option number six, reporting sore throat, fatigue, and low-grade fever while on clozapine or clozapine. Now, this technically isn't fair because this is an antipsychotic drug. But guys, yes, clozapine zaps WBCs, making a huge risk for infection and technically a risk for injury. Now, we have two atypical antidepressants, trazodone and bupropion. So for trazodone, the indication is for a sleep aid and treats depression. So memory trick is the Z's in trazodone, which makes you sleepy and sedated. Or think of transodone. It basically puts you in a trance. Now the key is to avoid ETOH and other sedatives, such as benzos and antihistamines. And we teach the patient to take at night. Since it can cause orthostatic hypotension, we also teach slow position changes. And a very rare complication is a priapism. So teach a patient that if an erection lasts longer than 4 hours, to go to the hospital. Now next is bupropion, SR or XL. Brand name is Wellbutrin. The indication is for depression and an aid to stop smoking. Now the side effects is insomnia, headache, and weight loss, which is probably not a bad side effect. Now, teaching, guys, we never double up on missed doses, just like any other medication. And nicotine gum may be prescribed in addition to help stop smoking. Now, administration, guys, the big key point here is XL and SR, or basically extended release and sustained release. We never crush, never chew, or cut these kinds of drugs. So meds labeled SR or XL should never be altered before admin. Always swallow whole with or without food. Guys, if you chew or crush, it could cause faster absorption and higher levels of the drug can be increased. Hence, the side effects will increase as well. Now for the bipolar medications. First on the list is carbamazepine. Indication is obviously bipolar, but also given for seizures. And a big one here is for treatment of trigeminal neuralgia, basically neuropathic pain. Now the side effect number one is leukopenia. We have low WBCs, which means increased risk or massive infection. So the key word here is to report fever and sore throat. Guys, that's the most important. Now next is accidental pregnancy. So key words, oral contraceptives are ineffective and we'll need alternative forms of birth control or birth control methods. Now next is V for valpyric acid. So guys, just think val with a lot of L's. So L for liver toxic, we monitor for jaundice and liver labs, ALTs and ASTs. And L for low platelets, aka thrombocytopenia. We have a big bleed risk. Now valpyric acid is also not pregnancy safe, and we teach clients not to discontinue abruptly. Now for the big mama, lithium. This is the drug to know, coming up 22% of the time for all psychiatric med questions. So for lithium, it's given over the long-term treatment for both bipolar and schizoaffective disorder. So guys, the memory trick is a lithium battery. Since lithium lasts a long time, and B for bipolar, so remember battery. Now it has a very narrow therapeutic range, 0.6 to 1.2. And the key point here is that toxicity happens over 1.5. So patients at highest risk for toxicity are those with decreased renal function. Remember, kidneys are the washer machines of the body, washing the blood out from medications and waste. So any decrease in renal function usually sets the stage for toxicity. So be cautious with patients in kidney disease and also elderly patients who naturally have decreased kidney function. Again, the key signs for the kidneys are creatinine over 1.3 means bad kidney, and urine 30 mLs per hour or less means kidneys are in distress. And the signs and symptoms of tinnitus, ringing of the ears, usually indicates some type of kidney malfunction. So we use the acronym LITH for all the key points that are highly tested. L for levels over 1.5 equals huge toxicity. So blood levels are drawn regularly to maintain that therapeutic dose and may take up to 3 weeks. So guys, a common test question is lithium at a therapeutic level? If yes, then continue at the current dose. Now I is for increasing fluid and sodium. Since lithium, let's go with the fluid. Guys, the big key point here and the contraindication is we can't give lithium during dehydration and low sodium, that hyponatremia below 135 microequivalents per liter. Guys, always question any prescription the doctor writes if the patient has low sodium or dehydration. Second thing is never restrict sodium and water. Keyword here, do not limit sodium intake. Since sodium swells the body with water, we need to avoid that toxicity here. Now, a typical question is a patient at highest risk for toxicity, usually a patient with a stomach flu, including diarrhea and vomiting. Now, the big key words here are due to massive dehydration. Again, always reviewing low sodium. Thanks for watching. For our full video and new quiz bank, click right up here to access your free trial. And please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. Last but not least, a big thanks to our team of experts helping us make these great.
If you're talking to us, Ms. Acker, you're muted.
Darn, and I was giving you all the answers to the test too. Darn. No. Can you guys see that up there on the screen? The website? Okay. I also have the website for the smaller ones. Like the 5-minute ones that he has, which is kind of basically all those just broken, you know, he just put them all together on that one. I will put all this in an email too, so that you have that. Like I said, he does some good sing-songy little things, gives you little keys to remember things. Hopefully helps a little bit with that kind of what you really need to remember and what's really important and what's not important. I like the fact that he talks about NCLEX questions. You know, it's good that way. And he hits on the key points. Like, he doesn't like do the fluff. He doesn't do all the chemistries and enzymes and all the kind of stuff. He at least hits you with the, you know, the important points. So do you guys think that was beneficial? Did that help? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, nothing, as long as it, you know, gives you some things to think about, gives you some, you know, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more things to think about, you know, because everybody looks at things differently. Everybody has different triggers and ways to remember things. So anything that helps. And I like the fact that it kind of keeps things on the down low and it's like, hey, guys. You know, guys, like he's like talking to you instead of lecturing you. So that's really good. Okay, let me do a new share here. There we are. Hey, I'm learning. I'm getting there with this Zoom stuff and this PowerPoint stuff. I'm getting there. Does anybody have any specific questions? Anything that we can start out talking about? You want to just run through the PowerPoints real quick and see where we get, see if you have questions, let me know. I'm going to try.
Ms. Acker, with this, sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Since 16 is so big, is there like any way that you can guide us on what to take out and what pieces to remember and how to apply it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we can go through that. Because like I said, when I'm doing things and I'm trying to make it make sense, you get some of the facts in there that are not important, that you don't need to know, but if it helps put the picture together and get it to make sense for you, then that's good. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to be on a test or that's what's, you know, on NCLEX. Because as he said, NCLEX is all about, you know, they don't want to know that you know, chemicals, enzymes, what protein goes where and does what. They want to know patient safety and you know what to teach your patients to keep them safe. That's the key to the whole NCLEX. Okay. So when we started talking about psychotherapeutic drugs, the big question was, why do you take them? Well, to help with emotional and mental disorders. These are people that can't carry out normal daily functions. They need help. Sometimes it's a matter of psychotherapy, being able to talk to people, but sometimes they also need additional help. Psychotherapeutic drugs should always be, for the maximum effect, should always have some sort of psychotherapy involved also. They should be able to talk to people, therapists, psychiatrists, you know, case managers, whatever, they need to be able, it's an adjunct type of relationship there. You can take the drugs, but if it's not helping the basic cause, like the basic cause has to be investigated. Is it anxiety? Anxiety is not necessarily always a chemical reaction in the body. It's a reaction to extraneous or forces outside the body. Something's going on that makes somebody anxious. Emotional disturbances, PTSD, just something that interferes with the person's ability to function on a daily basis to do the normal activities of daily living. There is some chemistry in there. they're on the fence about it. They think that it might be due to the neurotransmitter imbalances in the body, which goes along with, mostly goes along with bipolar and the psychotic angle on it. Mostly that they think that anxiety is related to emotional type of stress. The neurotransmitters they're talking about, you haven't had neuro yet, but neurotransmitters are what helps get the nerve impulses across the synapses. They are what regulate hormones in the body, steroid hormones, stress hormones. They are dopamine and norepinephrine, which are catecholamines. I don't know if you remember that from AMP, but catecholamines. You've got serotonin and histamine. You've got GABA. GABA is your friend. GABA is calming. Serotonin is brightening. Serotonin is the active, hey, I'm awake neurotransmitter. GABA is the, hey, it's time to sleep. Hey, it's time to relax neurotransmitter. And you also have to look at people with their electrolytes. Electrolyte imbalances can cause some of these disorders too. You have to take a look at if their potassium is off. You know, what can that cause? Can that cause some shift in the chemistries in the brain? Yes, it could. Can some of these electrolytes affect the kidneys, which could increase the waste products in the body, which could increase emotional and mental instability? Yes. So it's not necessarily a, oh my God, it's just something in the brain and it's just a chemical in the brain. No, it's a multifaceted problem that's individualized to the person that's experiencing it. Now, what do you need to know about the emotional and mental disorders? There's three basic categories. Put them in the categories. You got your anxiety, you got your mood disorders, and you've got your psychoses. Anxiety is a little less on the spectrum, although not for the person going through it. Mood stabilizers, they swing. They just kind of go from being manic to being depressed and anywhere on the spectrum in between. And psychoses are just basically your schizoaffective disorders. These are the people that are out of touch with reality when they're in the psychotic period. They're totally out of touch with reality. They're unable to distinguish what's real, what's not real. It's the most severe mental disorder. Anxiety is just basically that, an unpleasant state of mind characterized by a sense of dread and fear. It's whatever is triggered for that person. There's things that might make me anxious that don't make you anxious. There, you might see a snake going across the path in front of you. Might send somebody off into an anxiety attack. Might make some others laugh. It's what is important and what triggers the reaction to that stressor with that particular patient. Could be a matter of somebody's thyroid being off. A lot of times, hypo and hyperthyroid issues will trigger anxiety for people, depending, or could trigger mood swings. They could go into a depression from a hypothyroidism. They could be manic from a hyperthyroidism. Hypoglycemia can make somebody look like they're having an anxiety attack. It can make somebody look like they're having mood swings because of the effect it has on the central nervous system. Now, do you need to know these anxiety disorders? Sort of, if you look at them, you can see, you can put them in your head that, you know, if you recognize them, you recognize that they are anxiety disorders. You know what I'm saying? Do you need to know that each and every little tidbit that you need to know about them? No. You just need to know that if somebody that's obsessive compulsive has an anxiety issue, PTSD, could either be a depressive issue or an anxiety issue. Panic disorder, social phobia, simple phobias, they all kind of make sense that they are anxiety related. So what do we do for these? Well, I guess we won't go into that yet. Mood swings, they can go, they can be high, they can be low, they can be in between, they can go from highs to lows in a matter of minutes, depending upon what their trigger is. They can have tremendous energy. They can have a depression where they have no energy. They can have insomnia where they're not sleeping for days at a time, or they can just spend the time in bed sleeping because they basically exhausted themselves. They do, one of the things that is important to notice, to note about mood disorders, they do have recurrent thoughts of death and suicide. This is a danger for them when they are active, when they are hyper. That's when you're going to see somebody at the most risk for suicidal ideation and going through with it. Usually people that are depressed don't have the energy to put forth the thought process to do the action. It's the people that are manic, that are in, that all of a sudden have this tremendous energy from either mood disorders or their psych meds are starting to work. And all of a sudden they've got renewed energy. Well, these thoughts are coming into their head. Now they have the energy to act upon them. And that's when, and he emphasized that in the video, these are when people are their most dangerous, is when all of a sudden they've got energy. They can go forward and are able to commit to what they've been thinking. Psychosis, severe emotional disorder. They just can't participate in ADLs. They can't deal with reality. These are usually mostly time constrained. Because people see that these people are in this state, and it's usually they're able to get help faster because they're in such a state that they have lost contact with reality, and they're able to get interventions faster. Why do we take anxiolytic drugs? To reduce anxiety. Which ones are we concerned about with this? Benzos, benzodiazepines, and the miscellaneous one, Buspar. Buspar is a very, very nice drug because it's non-sedating. Benzos, sedating. Benzos, CNS depression. Buspar, no CNS depression. Benzos are for short-term PRN situations, taken as needed. Buspar needs to be taken consistently over a couple weeks for it to work. Neither drug do you stop cold turkey. If somebody's been on benzos for a period of time, they can have a benzo withdrawal syndrome, which is really ugly because they go into a manic state. They are confused. They are jumping up and down on the stretcher in the emergency room. They are acting out of character because the benzos were abruptly stopped. The body's used to them. So they go into a hyper type of situation.
Excuse me, Mrs. Zacher. So yes, ma'am. What is considered short term for benzos?
They usually just a period until the anxiety is relieved. It depends upon what the cause is. Short term should just be a couple days to just a very, very few weeks. They shouldn't be on them long term, longer than that. Now, like I said before, it used to be back in the day, people were on anxiolytic drugs for longer periods of time. Your Valiums were the be all, the end all drug. It's the mother's little helper in the Rolling Stones song. It's everybody was on these. And then when people started coming off of them, that's when they started to realize that, oh, these drugs do have long-term effects. And they do the job for the short period of time. But if you're on them for a long period of time, your body gets used to them and your body wants them. They're highly addictive. Everybody okay so far? Benzos. What do we need to know about which ones of the benzos do we need to know? That's probably the better question. Pretty much for anxiety, you'll see your Xanax, your Valium, and your Ativance used. Xanax is short acting, Valium is long acting, Ativan is intermediate acting. They all have their uses. They're all good for what they're used for, but they also have a lot of contraindications, drug reactions. Their mechanism of action is to reduce anxiety. How do they do it? Decrease the activity of the central nervous system, like sedate, settle, calm. Increases the action of GABA. Remember, GABA is calming. Blocks the nerve transmission in the central nervous system to calm things down. Those synapses are not firing like crazy. It's very calming. GABA is your friend.
Ms. Zacker, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So you can actually buy those gummy GABAs like over the counter.
Uh-huh.
And would they come with like warnings like how like the benzos do?
They should. I don't know that they do.
Because my friend, she has like extreme anxiety and she doesn't take medication. She just buys uh-huh. those gummies and she takes two at a time. And she said it makes her feel like kind of like spacey, like carefree kind of.
Uh-huh.
I guess like I don't know what they do, but I mean, would something like that have the same effect as something that you would get from the doctor?
I don't know very much about over-the-counter GABA. I myself would stay away from it only because there's not that much known about it. You know what I mean? It's good that it's working for her. Is it the long-term effect on it? I don't even know if they even know the long-term effect of over-the-counter GABA. And one thing with any kind of over-the-counter drugs, you always have to be careful of what you're getting because because they're not regulated by the FDA.
Okay.
So she probably needs to be very careful with GABA and with the sedating effects of it. What are the chances of addiction to it? Probably very high. What are the long-term effects of it? I'm not quite sure about that. I would be very, very leery, especially with whatever company she's getting it from too. You have to make sure that they're a reputable company.
I think she got them off Amazon.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Yeah,
I don't know.
She needs to be very, very careful because you always need to be cynical about anything that you get online and that's not FDA approved. Plus, like I said, what are the long-term effects of taking that? What happens if she abruptly stops taking it? I would bet that there is some sort of, a withdrawal syndrome type of thing that she would go through.
Okay. I'm going to look into it actually.
Look into it and let me know because I'm curious now that you say that. I'm really curious. I'm going over it in my head, seeing both sides of the story and it's like, I think I'd be very careful.
Okay.
Why do we take benzos? To decrease anxiety. Also, treat alcohol withdrawal. Short-term Xanax is not necessarily what they want for acute alcohol withdrawal. You would want your Ativans and your other longer-acting benzodiazepines. Insomnia, you would want a shorter-acting one. Muscle spasms, Valium used to be one of the main treatments of muscle spasms before muscle relaxants came more into vogue and were more user-friendly. Seizure disorders is one of the main reasons people use benzos, other than anxiety, is to help with seizure disorders. And some of them are used as adjuncts with anesthesia. They will usually do a midazolam with which is Versed, with another drug to help with putting somebody under anesthesia. Midazolam is a very, very nice drug. You don't have to know about it now. It's in level 4 because it's not really related to anxiety, but it's a very, very, very nice drug. It's very short acting. It's usually 45 minutes and the person's awake. But it's a total, and which goes along with the benzodiazepines also, they are amnesiacs. They will make you forget. So, which is good, especially if you're heading into surgery, there's things you don't want to remember. So especially with the, when they're inducing anesthesia, you don't want to remember everything that they're doing and all those people talking in the room and all that equipment. And yeah, so you forget that stuff. It's used with, you know, depression and anxiety together, sometimes cautiously under the direction of a physician when you've got, you know, depression and anxiety, which is totally what happens also. Some people that are depressed can be anxious at the same time. Now, why don't you want to use it? Glaucoma and pregnancy. You don't want to use any of these benzos in pregnancy. Harms the fetus. Adverse effects all relate to CNS depression. Anything that you can relate to CNS depression, as he said, low and slow. Hypotension, decreased respirations, decreased CNS. You get your dry mouth constipation that you get with a lot of these drugs. You get them with benzos also. With children and some adults, you can get a paradoxical effect. You think you're going to get sedation and there goes the kid bouncing around the room. A lot of times they will use these for when they take children to dentists before they do dental procedures with them. They'll give them a little bit of something to help, you know, calm them down and make the process, the procedure, not as bad for them. And then sometimes it doesn't work. Do not ever, ever take a benzo with alcohol. And he was right. NCLEX will try to fool you with decreased usage of alcohol. No, 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 no. The word is no alcohol. Because of the additive effect, additive CNS depression, additive respiratory depression. Benzo overdose, romazicon, flumazenil. You do not do Narcan, you do romazicon for benzo overdoses. Do not use benzos with opioids. Do not use with any other CNS depressants. You need to be very careful when using them with oral contraceptives. We all know that it just doesn't work. It makes the oral contraceptives ineffective, which is not a really good thing. If you take note, like if you notice, most of the drug interactions with that interact between drugs, no matter what we're talking about, rifampin is always a drug interaction with any other drug. Theophylline is the same way. It's usually always, if you see theophylline out there, as you know, what would be a drug interaction with benzos, usually with any drug, rifampin, theophylline, and phenytoin will always be, and oral contraceptives will always be the answer somewhere. That is what interacts with almost every other drug in the world. Xanax is a nice little drug, short acting. Adverse effects, CNS depression. Any kind of confusion makes you unsteady on your feet, makes your patient at a risk for falls, patient teaching. Interactions with oral contraceptives, those are the other drugs, and alcohol, just like we said. Anything that's going to depress your CNS, you're going to avoid. Valium, longer acting, it's the longest acting one. And if you categorize these things, you're only, okay, you've got your anxiolytics. You've got two classes of them. You've got your benzos and your non-benzos. Which of these do you need to know? Anything that has, as he said, the lamb and the Pam on it is usually a benzo. What do you do? What goes on with benzos? Well, they decrease CNS excitability through GABA. They trigger GABA. GABA comes in and slows everything down. You have a chance of respiratory depression, CNS depression. You don't mix with alcohol. You don't mix with other depressants. You be careful with people that have liver disease, because that's where it's metabolized. Anytime you see liver disease or kidney disease, you can choose either one of those, because that's where things are metabolized. They're either metabolized, for the most part, that's where everything's metabolized, is either liver or kidney. So, you know, you look at those, you can't go wrong with that. Valium has added effects that the others don't. They use it with status epilepticus, with seizures. Valium is a big one with seizures, as is Ativan. So you've got your Xanax, your Ativan, and your Valium. Pretty much they all have the same side effects. They all are used in some way, mostly the Ativans and the Valium types, the longer acting ones, alcohol withdrawal. Because you want a longer acting agent to use with alcohol withdrawal, because it's not something that that goes away in 4 to 6 hours. This is a long process for people that are going through alcohol withdrawal. So you want something a little bit longer acting to help keep them under control and to prevent seizures in alcohol withdrawal, because that's what happens. People, when they're going through severe DTs, can and usually do have some sort of seizure activity. These are longer term to help prevent that. They're great for agitation. They're great for, you know, Ativan especially, for people that are agitated, that need control, that need to get themselves back under control. It's good for stopping the process because it slows everything down. Buspar is a very nice drug, but it's not a PRN drug. It's a drug that needs, you know, needs to be on a scheduled basis. They need to take it at the same time every day. They need to build up a level in their system. And it is very, very effective because it is non-sedating. Potential drug interactions. You definitely don't use it with MAOIs, but you don't use anything with MAOIs. Potential for serotonin syndrome. People are feeling better. It's triggering the serotonin in their bodies to get them to help them. Sometimes these drugs will trigger a serotonin syndrome. Serotonin syndrome is just basically an overdose of serotonin that revs up the body. So think of serotonin, which is the bright, wide awake drug, as opposed to GABA, which is the sedating drug. Serotonin, awake. Too much of it, you're way too awake. You're way too excited. You're way too tachycardic, hypertensive, high fevers. Why do we take mood stabilizing drugs? Well, to stabilize moods. The one that you need to know for the purpose of this class, he had gone over a couple different ones. Basically, they all have the same type of mechanism of action. What you need to know about lithium is it acts in the same way, but it has different side effects and things that you need to keep your eyes on. Lithium can be used with benzos, can be used with antipsychotic drugs, anti-epileptics, but you need to be very careful of the CNS effect of everything. The one thing that you need to remember about lithium is it requires blood level monitoring. You need to make sure that the blood level stays between 0.6 and 1.2. Those are very, very important numbers to know. If it goes above 1.2, you start getting into the 1.5 and above levels. They have severe reactions to it. They are lithium toxic. Lithium reacts bad with the heart when it's in toxic levels. You can have fatal dysrhythmias with it. With lithium, you need to watch sodium. You need to be very careful. You need to maintain a sodium level normal. 135 to 145. Lithium can cause a hyponatremia. So in order to have therapeutic lithium levels, you need to keep that sodium level where it's supposed to be. Lithium is the drug of choice for the treatment of mania. Lithium is a heavy metal. It's a naturally occurring heavy metal in, you know, in the world. It's not expensive. It's a good drug, but it has side effects. As I said, tremors, seizures, heart. One of the biggest effects of it is fatal dysrhythmias. Where you don't want to use lithium is if your patient is in a situation where he can become dehydrated. In dehydration, your sodium goes down because you're dehydrated, you don't have water in your system. Sodium follows water. If you're dehydrated, your sodium flushes out. Also, you need to maintain a proper sodium balance. People with renal disease, we all know that their electrolytes are all over the place. If they have a hyponatremia, they're going to have problems. You need to be very, very careful of people with any kind of renal insufficiency or renal dysfunction. Some of the other effects of lithium that you should know about, they can get ataxia, which would affect your patient's safety. Risk for fall, ataxia, disturbed muscle coordination, not really walking right.
Where are we at time-wise?
Oh, we're getting there. Antidepressants basically work to increase levels of serotonin. Remember, serotonin is the happy neurotransmitter. It's what wakes you up in the morning. Your body registers, there's light out, you wake up. Serotonin is kicking in. It's helping you to wake up. It's helping you to get going. What antidepressants basically do. They help to maintain the serotonin level in your body. They're SSRIs. He talked about the SSRIs. I thought he did a really good talk with the SSRIs. Mostly the SSRIs and the tricyclics are what are used. Tricyclics, remember Elavil. Elavil is also used for nerve pain, neuralgias. Now, Elavil is a very good drug, but it is another one that you need to be very careful of because of side effects. And it also, patient safety teaching also, it makes you, it alters your vision, and it alters the way that you look at things, and it alters you can have ataxia with that too, that you might have an incidence where you might fall because of altered vision or, you know, some sort of, you know, falling. What did he call it? Amy trips? It's true. They will use some tricyclics for childhood enuresis, which is bedwetting. And they use tricyclics to help to increase appetite in anorexic cases. As with all drugs, watch the MAOIs. Going through this real quick to see what else. And we can go back over this again. We have time to play. MAOIs, they're good for what they do. But at the same time, they have so many problems with them, mostly related to food and drug interactions. Everything under the sun that you can imagine probably interacts some way with MAOIs. The key to it is if you're stopping an MAOI, if you're changing doses, if you're taking them off of an MAOI to put them on a different drug, there has to be a 2-week washout period to make sure the MAOIs are out of their system and you don't take anybody that is on MAOIs to an Oktoberfest. They can't have just about anything that's there. The processed meats, the beer, wine, cheeses. Biggest one, which is a real problem for a lot of people, chocolate. Big problem with a lot of these drugs, and most of these drugs why people are non-compliant with them is the sexual dysfunction part of it also. St. John's wort, over-the-counter, potential for abuse because it's not really regulated by the FDA. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know what exactly the percentage is of St. John's wort versus what else they put in the pills is. Need to be careful with it. It does cause problems. It causes, you need to watch it with MAOIs, and basically just about any other kind of drug. Look at all those drugs. It hits just about, you know, mostly all of them. Dextromethorphan. Who knew that you shouldn't take St. John's wort with, you know, with cough medicine? Oral contraceptives also. Patient teaching. You always have to ask them about over-the-counter herbals because they cause problems, and that patients don't know what interacts with what. So that is what, as a nurse, that is what your job is. And that is what the patient teaching is, why you learn all these things is so you can say, oh God, I remember that from class. And, ooh, you know, you need to be careful of. MSAM comes as a transdermal patch. Basically, that's what that slide's about. You guys want to stop here and go eat lunch? Just looks like a good place before we get into the, you know, get into the SSRIs, SNRIs. We can stop here. Let you digest that. If you want to see that video again, I'll put those sites up on an email. Give you some time to think, process, come up with some questions. As I said, if you need to know, probably the best way to do this is to categorize everything. What treats anxiety, you know, mood swings, psychosis. Make yourself an outline that way. Do you need to know each and every side effect of them? No, you need to know the basics, though, and then be able to process. Okay, I don't need to know what every single solitary side effect is, but I need to know CNS depression. Need to know respiratory depression. You know, and what's CNS depression? Well, they're going to be at a risk for falls. They're going to, you know, they're going to be at a risk for, you know, seizures. They're going to be a risk for. So these are the things. It's probably try that way too with your thinking. Put them into categories, categorize them, because basically they do the same things. They're altering the chemicals in the brain to help relieve symptoms. Does that make sense?
And yes.
Hopefully you're getting into some of the disease processes in mental health too, which will help with, you know, getting it to make a little bit more sense as far as the disease processes themselves. So,
hey, exactly.
We'll keep going over it too. Yes, Donna.
I found it and I sent you the picture of it and I sent you the link.
Okay. Yeah, because I really don't know that much about it. In fact, I didn't know that they had, you know, over-the-counter GABA out there.
You could buy them for kids too. They have like that Ollie brand.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I got to read up on that one because I'm, like I said, I don't know about that one.
I don't know. I sent it to you though.
Okay, which is good. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
But go and have a good weekend, everybody. Stay out of the snow, or, you know, I know nobody can stay out of the snow because there's too damn much of it out there. Hopefully Sunday is not too bad and, you know, we don't get hit with more snow. Keep your fingers crossed. Okay, go have a good weekend.
You too.
See you later. Yep. Stevie, you want to hang on?
Yeah, I just wanted to be, it's kind of personal, so I wanted to just talk between me and you, though.
Do you want me to set up a different Zoom?
I still have your phone number if I can just call you, if that would be okay. Oh,
absolutely. Yep.
All right, I'm going to do that then.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good weekend, everyone.